Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Hey, I'm Madeline Burke. I'm the guest this week on the Kicks and Shit Show. Check it out.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard, your girl Gabby, episode 76 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Nope, didn't even.
The silence is deafening.
I know, you're like waiting for it. You're like, wow, why isn't he doing it? I know. I'm really gonna, next time I bring, and I do, it's gonna just shock you because you don't know when it's coming. You're gonna be like, fuck. Anyway,
I don't have to get ready, Gerard, because I stay ready.
Listen. That is a motto, folks, to go through life with. You don't need to get ready if you stay ready. Just remember that.
Right.
Anyway, Gabby, where in the world are you this week?
Gerard, I am back in Vegas. We were actually for some football earlier.
Some hockey. Ooh, Las Vegas, some Golden Knights and some Raiders.
Some Raiders and some Golden Knights. Yeah, I mean, and I will say, the thing that I love about, and you know this about me, after working in sports for so many years, I love seeing how different teams do it, right? And I don't mean on the field, on the ice, on the court. I love that aspect as well. That's a given. But the presentation,
yep,
right?
That's what you're looking for.
Like, the thing that I love about Vegas sports is it's a show. You're there for a show. Like, Golden Knights, I went during playoffs, as you know. And it was a show.
Unlike any other.
The greatest show on earth. But yeah, I'm enjoying the warm weather. I took off with some nice hail leaving New York on my way over here. I think it's because I undead stocked my lightning force, you know? So I dropped the thunder,
and then see what she did there, folks? See that? You see what she did there? A little weather joke for you meteorologists out there.
That's right. But I'm in Vegas for the week, excited to be home for Thanksgiving, I will say. The older we get, the more we realize how Wednesday Addams was in fact correct. I'm going to leave that one right there to marinate for all of you.
Shouts to Christina Ricci, by the way. Shouts to Christina Ricci. She was wonderful, and it was Wednesday Addams. Really, really good.
Ahead of their times. But Gerard, what's going on in the streets for you?
Well, you know, we're in the, you know, I was gonna say we're in the thick of it. I mean, we're, it was week 5, 6 NBA. So, you know, we're out here. We're 15 games through, gonna be at 20 soon. Christmas is coming up. You mentioned Thanksgiving. Exciting times out here in these basketball streets. Yes.
Weekend this weekend.
Yes. I forgot. I'm on the road. Yes, it is also a birthday weekend for one of the hosts of this here show. And you know, I'm not one of these people that does like, it's my birthday month or my birthday week. I don't do that. Like, it's, I mean, and no disrespect to anybody who does that. That's just, I don't do that. But you know, go down to a nice dinner. You know. Just gonna chill, keep it low key, because Thanksgiving is next week. You gotta gear up for that. You know, looking forward to spending time with the fam, seeing some folks, and just, you know, downshifting. Gabby, it's funny, like Q4, it's like, get excited. You always know these 6 weeks are my favorite time of the year, right? My birthday yeah. through New Year's. But it's like, yo, you got mad stuff to do also, right? Where it's like, oh man, I gotta finish all this stuff. You got clients who are like, we need this done by end of Q4, and you're like, okay, but why don't you do this all first three quarters of the year? Like,
it's like trying to wrap up everything.
Yeah.
While prepping for the new year. Mm-hmm.
And trying to have some holiday fun. Right? Yeah.
Bright lights, big city, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's my favorite time of year in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the fall, but there's nothing more beautiful than New York.
Yep.
When that first snowfall hits.
Right before it gets slushy and gross. Yes, it's wonderful.
The gray snow comes. Mm-hmm. That first snowfall with the lights.
Wonderful. The tree at Rockefeller Center is going up. The store windows get changed over on Fifth Avenue. I mean, you know, look, that attracts a lot of tourists. But, like, if you're someone who lives in New York City like me and Gabby in the area, like, you, it's a nice, at least once in your life, check it out. It's nice, you know? You grab yourself a hot chocolate on a chilly night and you just stroll and you check them out.
Yeah, I mean, there's even, like, you can go to the food hall now mm-hmm. at Bryant Park, see mm-hmm. that tree.
Yeah, the Bryant Park tree, by the way, that's a great one because it's not going to be as crowded as Rockefeller Center. I mean, look, it's a smaller space, so it does get a little tight, but, like, a little bit less people than, like, the, you know, the masses that go over to see the huge tree over at Rockefeller Center. So, something to keep your eyes on, folks, if you're in the NYC area. Oh, Gabby, so, as you know, the Comme des Garçons Fomposites were released last weekend. And no, I was unsuccessful in securing them, which, I mean, no surprise. And, you know, I feel like for a moment I was like, man, because I was kind of like thinking about envisioning getting them, right? Where I was like, oh, what outfits would I wear? And I was, right? And I was like, I was slowly getting like, maybe, but nah. And then it's like, okay, there's StockX, there's eBay. Do I want to go on those sites and pay? At this current moment, I do not. However,
you might. You got to treat yourself for your birthday.
Well, I was just going to say, it is my birthday coming up, and it is the holiday season. So, I might treat myself. I'm thinking about it. We'll see.
I like that, John. I think you should. I mean, I'm constantly treating myself when I come to theaters. Which is why I save the bigger ticket items for larger purchases.
You're like, you know, it's treat yourself any day for Gabby.
I know. It's like the meme that says, like, me, treat yourself, bank account. Do not treat yourself. Like, that's one of the perks of not having an apartment, folks. You have a lot more of a budget.
That's true. You can treat yourself more now. No apartment.
I'm going to be undead stocking a pair for tonight's VGK game. Very excited. Maybe I'll show you guys on Instagram.com, perhaps.
on stories or reels?
Oh, maybe both.
Oh, fancy.
Whenever I wink, it means I have no idea what the plan is. So,
you know, those are the things. I do know there's a pair of Jordan 11s that we talked about that is coming out. How are we feeling about maybe potentially trying your luck at getting them?
So I want to talk about the 11s in general for a moment, right? Sure, and then we talked a little bit about the cool grays. Mm-hmm.
But these are not the grays, the ones I'm talking about.
No, you know, we're not specifically talking about the cool grays here, but I don't know if you noticed this. There was a lot of chatter on the interwebs, specifically the Instagrams, about the cool grays because they did a surprise drop for a few people, some influencer seating and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So people started to go bananas over them before even the release date. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you know, Jordan has been known, especially over the past 5 years, of doing a big holiday, full family release of one of their iconic 11s specifically.
Always.
So this is no different, but I would love to know, Drew, did you partake in any of the conversation around these 11s, or what did you think of the back and forth, knowing that, like, it's a pretty consistent model that Jordan Brand has.
Yeah.
Like,
this
isn't a surprise.
Every Christmas, right, or you know, thereabout, like the December holiday season, sorry, if you celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or anything else, or you're agnostic from all these holidays in general, around this time of year, the 11s are a release they do. Last year was the Jubilee, 25th anniversary, cool, great. I mean, this is what they do. As the 11 being one of my favorite silhouettes in the Jordan line, I like it. Everyone that comes out isn't a win or a hit for me. But in terms of, like, people getting seated in the conversation online, like, look, you know how I feel about that. They do what they do for a specific reason. Now, as you know, when I am someone lucky enough to get these things, I am 100% cool with that. So in the same vein, if someone else gets it and I don't get it, it's fine. Like, right? Why am I mad? Yeah, why am I mad? Because I didn't get that particular pair. I got others, right? So it just is what it is, right? So I'm cool. No need to get mad, people. Is, you know, you just move on.
I don't know, those animal print J's, though.
I know, and we talked about them a little bit, but I mean, so for me, no, that's a no. But
it's I want to see how they look in person for me, because I feel like those are one of those things that I think are gonna kind of fly under the radar. I think will the bot snatch them up because they're an 11?
The bots are gonna get them. I feel like,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I felt the same way about the 1985 dunks that I wanted a couple mm-hmm. months ago. Right? Is mm-hmm. that they should probably not have been on resale.
Probably not.
But because they have the word draw in them, everybody
went nuts.
Out. I mean, and that's why if you look on, like, the StockX's, the GOATs, mm-hmm. all of the resale platforms in the industry, everything's like $200, maybe less. People aren't making a profit off of these. So I'm hoping that people eventually, like, kind of, like, back off on some of the less hype pairs.
I have a feeling, Gabby, you're going to be able to cop a pair of the animal print J's. Even, I mean, because the bots are going to snatch them. So, like, I know you're going to try sneakers, whatever, but the bots will snatch them. You go resale. I think you'll be able to get them pretty close to what they are at retail. I don't imagine those being $400 or $500. Not because I don't think they're dope, but I think they, because it's animal print, it's a very,
it's a niche pair.
Yes,
I think gonna
it's very specific
sizes, or if there's, like, a man who's really swaggy and can rock them.
Yeah.
You know, I
yeah.
think that's what it's going to be.
It's going to be very specific.
Get a Parker Dolly and see if I can
yeah.
find
yeah.
for waiting.
That's them. Yeah. I think it's going to be very specific, yeah. and I have a feeling you're going to be able to get your hands on a pair of those. And being as someone, I know you love animal print. I know your point. You want to, because on the pictures it looks one way, and then because, like, you know, the rabbit leather sevens, right? Like, they look green to you, and I'm like, no, those are gray. Like, but I get it. Like, that's how the picture looked. So you need to kind of see them in your hands and in natural lighting or whatever lighting you're at, what they look like.
Totally. And I know there's a ton of releases coming out. I mean, me and everybody else is probably most excited about the patent band ones.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that iteration. I like when Nike plays not just with the colorways, but they do, like, remixes of fabrics. I mean, mm-hmm. I think, like, the shattered backboards that came out
yep.
in the patent, those were super fire. That's not as much my bag in terms of colorways, but I like the idea. You know how I feel about the satins when they play around
Always.
With that.
That's your jam.
I'm excited to see these. I think, I mean, these are going to be ones that people are going to be really going for. Really curious, though, if those are going to drop on time. I mean, I know
supply chain issues.
The holiday is scarcity, right? It's like people can't get their hands on anything.
Yeah.
So I think to that vein, though, resale platforms are going to have a really good year. You know, our friends at Another Lane, the eBays and StockX's mm-hmm. of the world, like mm-hmm. places that you can actually have inventory in hand to be
yeah.
able to get them.
Yeah.
I think that's where the real
yep.
Secret Santa is going to lie this holiday
season. I think you're right about that. It is the people who have inventory in hand are going to really do well, because supply chain issues are real. Like, there are just certain 100%. Things that, like, you just can't find it. It's like, what? I don't, like, and it's, you think about silly, simple things like a particular brand of soap or, like, whatever. It's like, why can't we, like, yeah, supply chain people. So this holiday season will be very, very interesting. I'll be curious. Follow our guy, Matt Powell, on twitter.com. And Gabby and I are making these jokes because our guest coming up, you know, I like to refer to her as the queen of dad jokes. So I think, you know, you guys will really, really enjoy hearing from her.
I say, she gives me a run for my money, you know? Running those fresh kicks.
I was going to say, because you, Gabby, also enjoy a good dad joke. But yeah, she likes to drop a good pun. But yeah, no, the supply chain issues are real. And it will be very, very interesting to see from a sneaker standpoint what actually is out there. And I think you're right. Like, because of the inventory at places like StockX and eBay and Another Lane, like, hey, people, if you got... Because the other thing, too, is with COVID, what happened was people's forecasts for their earnings, whether you're a big company or a small business, mom and pop shop, right, it's off. So as a result now, like, right, what can you pivot to do to try to recoup that money and make some of it back that didn't come in or over that time frame? Well, folks, stay tuned, because coming up next, special guest, she is a... hosts, reporter, entertainer, TV personality. You've seen her in these streets if you were in the New York City metropolitan area. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. And Gabby, we are not alone. We are joined by New York Giants sideline host, reporter for WFAN, Giants Games. She contributes to the post game on MSG. She's a host for Sports Illustrated. I mean, she has 17,000 jobs. The wonderfully talented Madeline Burke. How are you, Maddie?
I'm so great. Thrilled to be part of this show today. I like how you started with, we are not alone. It made me a little scared at first, Rod. But you know what? I was like, I'm going to embrace it. Who's here? And then I was like, wait, oh, me. It's me. Yeah. Me. I'm here.
Who's here? See, ding. By the way, that's the counter. One. Oh, gosh. We already got one dad joke in. One.
Count all the tragic jokes.
I'm here for all of them. I just want you to know I appreciate a good dad joke. Gerard can attest to that.
Oh, thank yes. Listen, that's support. Why the two of you, it's going to be quite the spectacular. Listen, so we had your boy, Brandon London, on, who you co-host Giants Big Blue Access with. And, you know, he was saying some things like, oh, we got to get Maddie on. I'm like, yeah, well, I know Maddie. So fucking, she's here. You're here. And welcome.
Voila. Say it and it shall be. And voila. No, Brandon's the greatest. Brandon and I have been co-hosts of Access Blue for 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just one of those things. He's like my work brother. And we've got such a good back and forth going on now in the show that it's so much fun. And if you guys are in the New York, New Jersey area, check it out on MSG, because you got to get the plugs in here, too. Yeah, like, listen, this is me, like, not so shamelessly plugging the content.
Plug
right
it
there.
All.
We got
plug
those
it
shows.
All.
Brandon also appears on Giants Post Game Live that I'll be hosting after the games. And so, yeah, just, you know, get the plug walk out of the way before
I love it. Got to plug yourself. All right. So, Maddie, you know, you're out there. I mentioned all the 17 million jobs you have, like, but it didn't start that way, right? So where did your love for telling stories, being on camera, and all of that come from? I mean, I kind of know, but I want everyone else to know.
I mean, it's, I guess, what kind of, how much do we want to unpack here?
See, that's exactly, where I'm going. Let's start from
right?
the beginning.
No, I mean, so I grew up an only child. I have a brother who is 15 years younger than I am. So I don't want to, like, discredit my brother, Marco, love him to death. But, like, my formative years were very much all about me. So, like, yeah, no. But really, I always loved writing, and when I went to college, you know, it's high school newspaper and all that kind of stuff. I went to college at Arizona State.
To the Sun Devils,
mm-hmm. to major in good times and minor in journalism. ended up majoring in journalism, though, which was great. While I was there at the Cronkite School, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to be writing, I'm going to be into news, but kind of really felt the weight and the heaviness that is news reporting. And I felt like that wasn't on brand for me. So through just a series of fortunate events, and Monday Night Football came to town and asked for some people to help work on it. And through a long, convoluted story, I actually got rejected from being part of the cable runners. They were hiring people to, you know, you watch a game, you mm-hmm. see on the sideline that there's a camera guy and then the yep. person running behind him over-undering the cables. And mm-hmm. I was like, please pick me, as did everyone else in the journalism school. So I got rejected, sent a thank you note, and the next day got a call saying, like, hey, never been thanked for rejecting someone for anything. And, not, you know, to be honest, you were on this short list of candidates. It was just a numbers thing. But, hey, instead of being a cable runner, why don't you come be an office PA?
And you're like, and okay.
That Monday Night Football means essentially like making sure there's snacks around, making sure the talent knows when they have to be on set, getting people to and from their hotels, driving people to go get lunch and all that kind of stuff, just kind of running errands or doing all the little chores that other people are too busy to do on mm-hmm. a production like Monday Night Football. It was 3 days, got to be around some of the best in the business, Stuart Scott, Susie Culver, mm-hmm. and just kind of embrace it. And then the game, I mean, the Bears win with no offensive touchdowns. Devin Hester's running it back like nobody's business. Denny Green has one of the most iconic post-game pressers. You want to crown him? Crown him.
We yes. are who we thought they were.
Yes, exactly. The Bears are who we thought they were. And I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. That was like the pivotal moment in my journey where I was like, this is the path I'm going to go on. This is I need to be around this in some way and pivot my skill set to be in this field. So long story long, now here I am.
I love it. Were you at Arizona State at the same time as the bearded James Harden? Do you guys overlap?
I absolutely was.
I thought so.
We both lived in the towers my sophomore year of college. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. James, Jeff Pendergraf, now mm-hmm. Jeff Ayers. Mm-hmm. That basketball team, that was a fun basketball team to watch. That was before, you know, the Sun Devils had so many gimmicks, like the free throw wall
yeah.
and all
yeah.
that. That
yeah.
wasn't there yet in my time, but Harden due to relevance in his very brief time there, and it was a blast.
He sure did. All right, so you're doing the Monday Night Football thing. They got you doing the PA. You're like, I got to be in this world. So when you graduated, like, from there, what was, you stay out west in LA or Arizona? Like, what was the first, like, all right, menial job that, like, all right, I'm getting paid 18 grand a year, but I'm in this world and this is what I want to do?
Well, so it's interesting because all throughout college, I continued to stay in touch. You know, after that Monday Night Football game, I, you know, kept in touch with the people who hired me there. Ended up doing the same job for the Super Bowl that was at that same stadium in Arizona. And I think you might remember it. The Giants played the Patriots, and the Patriots had been undefeated, but David Tyree made a really great catch in that game. So I had like a streak, honestly, of just working some ridiculous games. The following year, I worked as a PA for the Super Bowl, and it was like that San Antonio Holmes toe drag swag catch, but it was the Steelers and the Cardinals. And so I was doing a lot of that during school. And my professors would always kind of tell me, like, you need to stop being so narrow focused on sports, right? They were like, you got to do other stories. You got to do news stories. So I would go do a community story that involved Larry Fitzgerald. Like, I always found some way of, like, looping it back to that. And I was constantly told, no, you know, you can't just work in sports. You have to do news. You're going to have to do local news. And this is, you know, this is 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, whatever. I graduated from ASU in 2009. And at that time, like, they were still of the mindset that you have to go to, you know, Portland, Maine or, you know, Duluth, Minnesota to get your start and work your way up the ranks. And for me, I understood that that was the formula that had worked for so many people, but I just didn't feel like that was going to work for me. So I graduated, I moved back home to LA, didn't have a job. So I was, you know, got a part-time job working at a gym. Also, sorry to you listeners, I live in New York City. We got, you know, we got ambient noise.
We got things always. That's how it goes.
Things happening. So moved back home to LA, you know, moved back in with my dad. Got a job, you know, checking people in at a gym and just would go to events to cover them. Even if nobody was paying me to do it yet, I just would show up and do it. So I'd get my little camera. I'd go shoot like Baron Davis, who became a friend through my cousin was his agent. Long story long. He had a kickball game, a celebrity kickball game. So I went and I covered it and I made a little package and I put it on YouTube or things like that. Yep. And I was at Pac-10 at the time, Media Day. Now, of course, Pac-12, but back then it was Pac-10. And I walked into the lobby of the hotel that it was at, and there's nobody there except for this man in his suit. And I was like, hey, are you here for that? And he's like, I'm also looking for it. So we start walking, trying to find the event together. And he asked me what I'm doing there, and I tell him. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I just graduated. I want to do this, but nobody's paying me to do it yet, so I'm just doing it. And I said, what about you? And he goes, oh, I'm the vice president of Fox Sports. I'm like, oh, of course you are.
So casual.
Suddenly, like, immediately just thinking about, what did I just say? Did I say it right? But, like, thank God I didn't know who he was when I was just like, oh, yeah, this is who I am. And got an opportunity through that to come in and do, like, just an audition just for fun, mm-hmm. just to get on tape. And that ended up leading to my first job, which was hosting a national college football magazine show for Fox Sports called Running with the Pack. Mm-hmm. And it was a Pac-10 at the time show. We'd go to every school in the conference, interview mm-hmm. a football player, a coach, do a magazine story on a women's team, do like some man on the street stuff. And it's like unheard of, right? Yep. To have your first job be a national show. And of course that didn't last long. Like I made a lot of mistakes at that point in my mm-hmm. career, and mm-hmm. I was still very green and yep. still very much learning how to do this. And that's why you don't start on a big stage. I think, mm-hmm. you know, the final product turned out fine, but it takes a lot of editing, a lot of coaching. Yeah. And like, you don't just come out the gate, like winning Emmys. Like, and if you do, like, kudos to you for that. But, and so, yeah, and that happened. And while I was doing that, I kind of started, I love the NBA. So I started meeting with people in the NBA and thinking, okay, how can I create a role for myself? And, you know, I can shoot, I can edit, I can produce, I can publish, I can give you a final finished product. Mm-hmm. And I met with Raymond Ritter with yeah. the Warriors, yep. and he was very much like, I think, you know, you got something good here. I'm not sure we're ready to go that direction. He goes, but you should talk to Joe Safety with the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Talk to Joe. He's like, you know what? I want to use you. And that's how I created this thing we called LAC TV, which was mm-hmm. the Clippers digital content at that time. Like yep. not every team had,
yeah.
this is 2009. Like not every team had a team reporter.
You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and then the following year, I saw Raymond at Summer League, and he says, you know what? I should have hired you, because now I'm looking for someone to do exactly what you're doing. But it was great. So I did the Clippers stuff for 4 years, and I turned it from, you know, just like a very low-budget, one-man band thing to a full-time job, traveling with the team, covering every game, every practice, every community event, and worked my butt off. And then 6 years ago, moved to New York, and now I'm here doing the Giants. Look and it's you know, life is a lot of twists and turns and ups and downs. And I just feel like I could just ramble on about all this stuff. And I don't know. Hopefully it is interesting and valuable information, because yeah, there's a lot of failure on the way.
For sure. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
I was just saying, I feel like nobody really talks about kind of those bumps in the road and that it's okay to make mistakes. But one thing that I'd love to talk to you about is, you know, also being a female that works in sports. Talk about that and the different challenges that come with that and the nuances and what you do.
Yeah, you know, it's very challenging. And I'll be honest, you know, I've always been very mindful of, you know, how you present yourself, how you carry yourself, because people are going to talk, people are going to make assumptions regardless. But I don't want to give them any reason to, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've always been very driven, very about my business, but that doesn't stop people from coming up with, you know, blog mm-hmm. posts or mm-hmm. Twitter comments or things like that, that are pretty hurtful. And you try to stay away from that, but it is challenging because as a female, you can't move in the same way as a man in this space does. Right. You know, if you want to be a reporter, if you want to cover a team, it's natural to have relationships with the players, with the coaches, and to have communications with them. And, you know, I've always been very, you know, I have certain rules, like, you know, I'm not going to text anybody late at night or, you know, out mm-hmm. of business hours or things mm-hmm. like that. There's certain things that I'm like, this is appropriate, this is respectful and all that kind of stuff. But it still becomes challenging because you have to navigate this line of people. Well, why are you texting this person? Because we work together, because I'm mm-hmm. I'm trying to do my job. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be challenging. You know, there's something that if a man does it, it would be totally acceptable. But if a woman does it, she must have different motives. And it's hard that in this age and in this time that, you know, we've made so much progress in, you know, looking at people like, oh, a woman can do this, a man can do this. But there's still so many of these like small aggressions and these small judgments that are constantly being made, especially with women against other women. And that's the hardest part. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I recommend and I'm grateful for is like find other women, find your tribe of women that are in the same industry and support each other. You know, like, let's lift each other up rather than trying to push each other down, because there's enough room for all of us to shine here. And nobody's going to steal your thunder by having their own, you know?
Yeah. No, so, that makes so much sense, Maddie. And, you know, Gabby, this is something we always talk about, the challenges of women in this business. And, you know, we've been fortunate. We've had a lot of really outstanding women in the business on this podcast, like yourself, Maddie. And it is tough for all of you. And the one thing I do know is that the microaggressions and all those things, like, they take a toll. But, you know, you guys continue to set awesome examples for others. And I think it's great. And I think, you know, hopefully we are slowly moving ourselves away from this horrendous culture. Although with stuff in the news, doesn't seem like it's, we're actually moving away, right? It's like, oh, look, this is happening again. Shocking. Moving on into more pleasant thoughts. So not only are you constantly, you know, you're on camera, you do NFL, NBA, you cover everything. I've seen some stuff recently. You're also doing some brand partnerships. Talk about how you evolve from, all right, ASU student, one-man band, and now I'm not going to say you're the face of a campaign, but in many ways, you know, you do some pretty cool things.
Far, way far from it. I have an Instagram account. I mean, I think, you know, that stuff all happened pretty organically, really. And it was... It was a slow evolve, and then it started to grow. And as you do more, other brands will notice and they'll say, oh, hey, we want to send you things. And I think that it's fun because, you know, on social media, I think I've always tried to just be a very authentic representation of who I actually am. You know, I don't ever want people to say, like, oh, well, in real life, I'm exactly the same doofus as I am on my story. Like, I don't know. I don't want to play a character. I just show people part of who I am. And I think that has helped in being that authentic person. And, you know, with some of the branding stuff, there's various avenues that has popped up, right? I work with Carl Banks, who, of course, Super Bowl champion, Giants linebacker, but also has a company, G3 Sports, and they've got, you know, Starter and DKNY and Tommy Hilfiger and Touched by Alyssa Milano and all these brands. And this hoodie, too, you know, another plug. This is one of the Carl Banks branded. But it started because, you know, he used to have little pieces of clothing for the Giants, and he would, you know, put them out on and be like, hey, you know, here's something for you guys just as colleagues, you know. And I'd always just put it up on Instagram and try to be like, oh, my gosh, you know, let me gas up this brand, because I think that it's sharp. I paid for some of it, too. I'm like, this is amazing. And then it started being like, hey, you know what? Like, I like the way that you present yourself and the things that you enjoy on Instagram, and you could help my brand. And so, you know, I started helping Carl with some, or, you know, Carl's company with some of that stuff. And other friends of mine have things that they're like, oh, hey, will you promote this? And I also won't promote things that I don't actually use or like. Like, I had a beef jerky come reach out to me, and they wanted to pay me dollars to promote beef jerky.
Beef jerky time.
I don't like beef jerky. I'm not going to take your money because I don't like beef jerky, and I respect those who do. But and so I think that also keeps it like, I don't know, I'm just like, hey, this is what I like, and this is what I recommend. And if you like it, cool. If not,
I love it.
Cool.
Well, what, one of the ones I saw recently that I was like, oh, look at this. I think it was the Moose Knuckle partnership. Oh, yeah. I was like, look at that. That is some quality stuff. So when you get stuff in the mail, like, how exciting is that? I mean, Gabby knows, like, cause she just got seated her first set of, swag the other day. And it's like, when you get that little notification that the FedEx package is coming, you're just like, ooh, what is it? What is it? What is it?
It hits different. But first of all, I would just like to put the audience on to the fact that, like, swag has evolved into such, like, oh, he's got swag, she's got swag. Yeah. But it's such an old industry term that just stands for stuff we all get.
Yeah.
That's what it
means. Exactly.
That's where the word comes
that
from.
Out because people forget that it's an acronym. Exactly. And not just
right. That, like, and like, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day. She's like, I've never knew that. And I was like, how? But like, you know, growing up around, you hear that and it's like, no, it used to be like, oh, it's just a swag bag. It's stuff we all get. And then now it's like, oh, it's such a good thing. That being said, I love a good swag page. I love it because I like presents. Gifts are one of my love languages. But also, you know, I think it's really cool, and I feel honored to be thought of as somebody who gets to experience these things and say, like, okay, here's something that I've created. I want to give it to you to see if it's something that you like and if you can help me make it bigger. And I think we all, whatever we create, whether it's a podcast, a show, a YouTube video, a clothing item, a shoe, we all need help from other people, from our peers, from our tribe to elevate it and to make sure, because people aren't going to know if they like it if they don't know it exists, right? And I think that that's something that's really cool. And I feel really grateful that people, some people think of me to say, hey, I need your help letting other people know this exists. And that's just like such a cool place to be. So,
So obviously we're a sneaker podcast. Did your love of sneakers come as a result of swag, or was it, nah, I was into sneakers earlier on, but now that I'm who I am, it's grown. It's even bigger.
Every answer is okay, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, no, what, it's whatever.
Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna keep it real. I honestly, I can't tell you, like, most people have an origin story, right? Like remembering that first East Bay catalog or remembering like these little items. I don't have an origin story. Like, it just kind of was one of those like slow burns for me. And I think, you know, working around people in the industry, especially in basketball, like, basketball really was one of those things that I've always admired. And I'm into art. You know, I paint. This is, I make most of the stuff that's hanging on my wall.
Look at you, talented.
But I love, like, I see beauty in a lot of things. And so I think some of the things with sneakers too is like looking at the colorways and the different like designs and shapes and patterns. Like, I just think it's such a beautiful, it's like art, you know?
It is.
So I've always found it, and that, and I've also always had just kind of my own style, like my own kind of unique taste in clothing and what I put together. So not just sneakers, I love shoes in general. And there's a line from this movie, from like a long time ago, and it's like, well, you know, no matter what size you are, no matter where you're going in life, the shoes always fit, right? You know, you got your jeans that sometimes they fit, sometimes they're a little snug. You got your favorite shirt that sometimes it's like, oh, it's a little tight today. The shoes are always gonna fit. So I love like a good pair of shoes, and that and sneakers too are always just like, so that's evolved, and that's kind of became one of those things. And I'm not getting like boxes of shoes. Like, you know, I've had a couple pairs of shoes gifted to me, but I am just like everybody else getting the no, you were not selected in today's draw on sneakers. And then going on StockX and placing a bid that I never think is going to be filled, and then getting notified that it's filled. And I'm like, oh, damn, I just bought those? Okay.
You draw them, not the only one that has happened to.
Listen, I know you're not. Listen, the struggle's real out there. We know. I mean, I think for me, Gabby, as you know, is like, I just know that I'm going to get rejected. So I'm like, I'm not even going to bother trying, right? Although, if it's something that I really want, or if I'm looking for something for you, I will roll the dice. Even though rejection's coming.
I know, but those surprise StockX, though, Maddie, I've done the same thing where I'm like, let me just watch the stock market. I'm going to go super low. And then all of a sudden it's like, surprise, it's on the way. Like, oh.
Or you get the email, like, it's been sent to StockX for authentication. I was like, wait, when did I buy that? Great.
Wait, Gabby, no, that's like the time you accidentally bought sneakers on StockX?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm glad that I'm not alone, Gerard. It's amazing.
In the last month, I've accidentally bought two pairs of shoes.
Nice.
Love that.
Yeah, it's just, oh, I didn't think I was going to take this bid. Oh, I'm actually going to pay for these now. Cool.
It's never things you don't want. Oh, no, of course. You're not going to bid on trash.
Well, that's why you bid, because you want them.
It's also like one of those things, it's like, it's Monopoly money, right? You're like, oh, I feel like if I put this number in, maybe I'll win. And then all of a sudden, that number has been deducted from your bank account.
It's like Price is Right. $1.
Yeah. If I could get some J's for a dollar, I would be all about that.
Oh,
I'd
man.
Be playing that game.
If we had real, like, imagine if we had real, like, prices, right? But, like, not with, you know, because everyone knows what the prices of Jordans are because you can just look them up. But, like, a real where you can actually go, what do you think the actual cost of this shoe is? And you win that way, I'd always bet a dollar. That's probably closer to what it costs to actually make these things.
Who knows? That also makes me feel really sad about the amount of money that is in my closet right now.
I mean, imagine not having rent on top of that. That's your sneaker budget. I'm like, I just need to figure out what address to send these to.
Yeah, no, I think like my shoes need their own. They need their own apartment at this point. Like,
I mean, listen, that's
if you need a roommate for that apartment, you let me know. I'll go split keys with you.
There we go.
I love it. So your time around NFL athletes, NBA athletes, who would you say that you've come in contact with has the best sneaker game in your estimation? That you've come, I mean, we know who the sneaker kings are.
PJ Tucker.
Well, I've said, assuming you've been in contact with them and you know them and whatever.
I mean, yeah, I've met PJ Tucker. He's got a great sneaker game. But it's also like, that's like low-hanging fruit, right?
Yes, PJ's
like,
low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, I think... I think also Saquon, his new shoe that just came out, is so strong. Mm-hmm. And I was actually talking to him about it, and I was like, this shoe is so great. And I was like, dude, I know that literally everyone is asking you for these shoes, so I'm not going to be that person, but I'm also not going to not tell you that if a men's 8.5 like comes across your desk that you don't know what to do with. Like, but you know, and he just laughed it off, whatever. But I just told him, I was like, yeah, I know I'm going to get rejected by sneakers, which I did. But Saquon's shoe is actually one of the ones that I was like, oh, I wonder if I bid like 206, like his number is 26. And like at that point, they were going for like $400. So I was just being like, yeah, oh, this will be fun to be involved in the game. And then all of a sudden, I got the shoes and I was like, oh no.
You're in now.
You know what? I'm supporting my teammate and colleague, Saquon Barkley.
There you go. Staying within the Giants fam. You know, when he played, I thought Victor had a nice shoe game, too. Victor Cruz also had some nice kicks.
Victor in my head, Jay.
Victor still has a nice shoe game. And Victor is now one of we have a revolving door of analysts. Mm-hmm. So I host the post-game show, and then our analysts revolve between David Deal, Sean O'Hara, Monty Toomer, and Victor Cruz. And Vic's got, like, his style game has always been so strong, but it has gone up to another level right now. He's on that, like, post-playing career, like, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman vibe, and
I love it.
Be mad at it. Yeah.
It's true, though. That's what I like about Saquon, though. I feel like he was following in the footsteps, pun not intended, of Victor Cruz with that Air Trainer silhouette.
Yeah, yeah, that and, like, the bow nose, like, it was very Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah, very
too.
Bow nose. Like,
there's a lot of hot tips, and I think, too, like, Saquon is, he's very good with, like, knowing the vintage hat tip kind of thing. Mm-hmm, and he's got a lot of vintage gear too that he'll pull out, which I respect. So
for sure. No, Saquon, love Saquon, love the Giants. You know, we're hoping better skies are ahead for the team in blue over the next several
weeks.
Hey,
life
here
is long, you know? A lot of ball game left.
Maddie, one of the things you talked about earlier was, you know, how your professors tried to tell you, you got to do news, you can't just do sports. But even though you would do that, you kept finding a way to go back to sports and connecting it, like you said. And you did the jobs you said for free without getting paid. But I want you to talk about to the people about following your passion, because that's what it was for you. And that's why for you, it wasn't work. So you could see it as, look, I'm going to do what I got to do, collect memberships at a gym, sell whatever I got to sell to make the money that I need. But in my spare time, because this is my passion, I'm going to just follow it because I'm not giving up until I get wherever there is.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just always been important to me to be true to who I am and not to try to be somebody else, not to try to be, oh, let me emulate this person that I like or that path that somebody else told me was the right one or whatever. Because I think we all know what feels right and what feels on brand for who we are versus what feels like I'm trying to force this because I feel like I should do this to get to where I need to go. And I think if you listen to that and you trust it, and a lot of people, you know, coming out of college especially, you come out with a graduating class of a bunch of people with the same major who want to do the same job, who want to have the same thing. There's not that many jobs out there. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I noticed is that there are so many people who at this point, you know, 10, 12 years after graduating from college that aren't in the industry anymore. And I think that the constant with those people was they all had a plan B. And they all said, well, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to do that. And it was a very detailed plan B. And I'm just like, I never really had a plan B. I'm like, this is what I want to do. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to find another way to do it. And it's not like I stopped myself from having a plan B or like I stopped myself from choosing an alternate path. Like, it's more just like I understood that this is what I want to do and this is what I'm good at. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are going to reject you along the way. There's a lot of people that are going to tell you that you aren't right for this or your look. I mean, I got so many comments about how messy my hair always is, and it's always messy, and that's okay. Like, it's like, I'm not going to be perfectly like put together. I don't have the Channel 11 news bob, you know, like I won't, like, that's not who I am. And like back then, I think that that was like the look that they're like, well, if you're on TV, if you're on the news, you're hosting it. Like, it was very formulaic. And fortunately now it's evolved and a lot of schools are offering more, you know, digital experience and alternate paths to get to where you are, because there's, you know, that expression, there's more than one way to skin a cat, which is such a weird expression. I don't know where it came from, but it's an expression, but there's more than one way to get from A to B. And I think that you got to follow the path that is most authentic to who you are, because if you're doing something that's true to you, that passion shines through and people will hear it and people will feel it. Whereas if you're doing something that you don't feel good about or you don't feel comfortable in, that also is going to shine through. And that's not going to translate to success, because people are going to feel that like lack of comfort or that like uncertainty or that, you know. And I think that it's, you know, it's a lot of like energy on top of everything else.
Now, that was extremely well said. Look at that, folks. We're dropping gems and good advice for you here. Make sure you're soaking it all up. And that's a great place for us to stop, because coming up next, America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by AnotherLane.com. I have a feeling Maddie's got some pretty nice things for us to see. I don't know what they look like yet, but I got a feeling. Stay tuned.
Ooh, no pressure.
What's up, guys? We are back, and you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. Guys, Chad and Adina Jones, husband and wife, founders of this amazing sneaker marketplace and platform. Make sure you are heading over there and checking it out. If you are looking for kicks that you may not be able to find, I was going to say I'm 99%. I'm 100% certain that if you reach out to Chad, he will find them for you. Now, going to cost you some bread, obviously, depending on whatever it is that you're looking for. But the Sneaker Galactus himself, he will find it and get it for you. Plus, it's a great community, awesome people to share insights with. What do you like? What do you don't like? You can maybe do some trades for those of you that have four pairs of a particular kind of shoe that you really don't need, but you want another one. Maybe do a little swap. Who knows? Anyway, AnotherLane.com. Check it out. All right, Maddie, Shoe and Tell. This is really your segment, so the floor is yours.
This is exciting. So I was like looking at my little shoe babies earlier today, and I was like, who gets to come on TV today? And I decided we're going to start with, you know, you need wardrobe staples, right? Everyone needs like a good, solid staple that you're like, but of course, you know, Air Force One, I was like, all right, you know, we all know that you're there. You don't need to have your moment in the spotlight. But I decided
I think she's right.
With another staple.
Oh, that is a Gabby favorite.
What has been my road sneaker?
That's a Gabby favorite.
Thank you. And for those of you listening on Spotify with no video, I have just revealed the Panda Air Panda High. Just the classic black and white.
Yeah, perfect.
Clean look. It just goes with everything. And it's like, you know, the black bottom too. It's easy to keep it clean looking. Because it's just a very clean shoe, and it's just a simple shoe, but it's a classic, right? It's not going to go out of style.
Versatile, all the outfits.
Can't go wrong with the dunk.
And it's like, I don't know, it's a good look. And so that's my first one.
I like it.
This one I like a lot too, because I feel like it's like, you know, it's like a little different, a little special. This Jordan Air Cadence. Yeah. First of all, I'm gonna like show you the up close, like these little details, like how this goes all zigzaggy.
Yep, little jump.
I'm like using the official terminology here. Zigzaggy. And like the bottoms have like this kind of Tiffany turquoise color, but it's mostly like a mushroom color cream with some white and black and red.
I like that. I like
that. And the colors, there's a lot of beautiful colors, but it's not very like in your face. It's like a subtle colorful shoe. And it's just, it's different. You know, it's not a shoe. I think everyone's got, you know, 90 variations of the Dunk, 90 variations of the Jordan 1, you know, things like that. But this one, I don't know. I felt like it was just kind of like, you know, like a little something about you.
I like that.
So we're still one. I like that when you showed us the sole, you wear your kicks. That's the most important.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to wear them. I mean, like, there's some shoes that you're like, you're too pretty to take off the shelf today. But, you know, there's like the trophy shoes, and then there's like, but if you don't wear them, like, they need to have a life, too. They need to have an adventure, and they need to shine and be seen as well.
Well, as our good friend Sneaker Galactus told us, Maddie, before you continue, you have to take your shoes out of their boxes and wear them, because if you keep them in there, eventually all that material is going to start dissolving, and then you got crap because the soles are broken apart because you haven't aired them out. They've oxidized sitting in their boxes all that long.
I think you've terrified Maddie officially right now.
Well, and they're called
out of her box as we speak.
They're called Air Jordans, not Closet Jordans.
You see, there you go. Hey-o. Ding!
This is a very thoroughly worn shoe, but this is probably my favorite shoe. It is an all red NMD. And it's like, it's red, but it's like a coral red. Like sometimes I wear it at training camp and I'm standing next to the pylon. It like kind of is the same color and, you know, shine bright like a pylon, right? I love it.
Ding!
These are like very, like, they're very loud, but the monochromatic look of them kind of makes it not as aggressively loud. They've got, I don't know, I like them. They're super comfortable. I love the color. Red is a neutral. Don't tell me otherwise. I think red is that.
So at training camp, do the coaches say, did the ball touch Maddie's shoe? Is that what they say?
Yeah. Did it cross the plane? Was it inside Maddie's shoe? Duh.
That's, I mean, the pylon.
If they ever lose a pylon, you're
ready.
Pop this up in the corner, and you're welcome, NFL. Like, I got you. And then this one right here, this will be my final contribution to this conversation. I wasn't sure how many shoes I should bring to Shoe and Tell, and I didn't want to bring that. Like, be that kid who brought her whole Beanie Baby collection.
We would be happy with that.
Bring all the Beanie Babies.
Yeah, fine.
I did that one time, and it was, you know, a lot. This is my Nike Dunk High in the Acid Wash, Black Acid Wash.
I like that. I like that.
God knows how I feel about this shoe.
You listen. This is your jam.
I can,
like,
see the love in your eyes, Gabby.
she's looking longingly. It's.
I like too, like the vintage look of this whole section.
Yeah.
I love a good tie dye, as you can tell by the hoodie I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. Like, I love this. It is the challenge though for me is like pairing it, because the tan items in my wardrobe are a different shade of tan. So it's like, but I don't know. It's just so pretty. It's so pretty. And this is one of those shoes, like I was talking about earlier, where it's just like, it's art. Like, I can't stop looking at it. I just want to be like, you're so beautiful. I hope you have a good day today. You know, like, thank you for buying me joy.
You're like talking to your kids.
Condo, you know, it says I can keep because you bring me joy every day.
I love that though.
Yeah. I got, you know, I like to say positive affirmations to my shoe babies because.
Well, because, you know, Maddie, they probably feel some kind of way, right? Because you know how it is. You get into a groove and there's like parents don't want to admit this, but it's like their favorite kid. Two or three, you're kind of doing all the time. And then it's like the other ones get forgetting about it. And it's like, no, I didn't forget about you. I still love you too. So you gotta,
You got rotations, and then, you know, when you have a collection too, like there's sometimes where you just go in there just to like admire, and you're like, you're pretty, but I'm gonna still pick up this one because it's, you know.
Welcome to my shoe-tation. I hear you.
Yeah, it's you know, it's tough to balance it, but I also too, like, there are times when, you know, you've got the outfit planned and you're like, okay, which one am I going to pick? Mm-hmm. But then there are times when you're like, okay, today is your day. What's the outfit I'm going to build around?
Yes.
And
yes.
like, Yeah. You know, it goes both ways. So.
I like that. That is because I flip as well. Sometimes it's, no, I'm wearing this outfit. So then it's like, all right, which one of the shoe kids gets to come? Other times it's, no, shoe kid going first. Which outfit's going to roll with shoe kid?
I would say I'm like 90-10 on that one. Shoes first.
But like when you're getting dressed, like I don't put the shoes on first. Well, that would just
no, be no.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
But no, I know. But I'm like curating. Yeah. Be like, look at me. This is how my brain gets sometimes after a long day. And I'm like, but like also not literally, but also literally.
Depends on the fit.
I love it. Yeah. Maddie, this has been great. We've had such a good time chatting in with you. Tell the people where they can find you.
On the World Wide Web. It's worldwide. If you go to a website, on Twitter.com, my handle is Madeline Burke. It's MadelyneBurke. Instagram, same thing. TikTok, I got an underscore between because somebody else took my name.
Who
but
the
you know,
hell
I'm
is
on,
that
you
Madeline
know,
Burke on TikTok?
You know, it's so my name is my name. And then, you know, if you're in New York and you watch Giants postgame on MSG or content on Giants.com and Giants social media outlets, all over the place. You know, I'm trying to stay busy and keep y'all entertained. And I'll be flexing some cute fall fits on Instagram.com if you want to check it out.
Instagram.com. I fucking love it. This is fantastic. And folks, that is another episode of the Kicks and Shit Show. As always, we are part of the Count the Dings family. You can find us on the Bomb podcast feed with the original Bomb show, with Crazy Sexy Cool, with Woke Bros, with Growing Up the Same, Rap Names, and of course, us. And we are too on Instagram.com and Twitter.com. You can find us at Kicks and Shit Show. TikTok, we're working on that, right, Gabs?
Yeah, right on top of that, Rose.
Right on top of that, Rose. I appreciate that reference.
Until next time, guys. Peace.